Be thankful for today. Know it'll never last. And let's leave the world laughing when our eulogies are read. May we all get to heaven, for the devil knows we're dead. May we all get to heaven, for the devil knows we're dead.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, whenever you're listening to this, Bring on the Cats readers. This is the Bring on the Cats podcast, or Bring on the Podcast, as I so cleverly call it. We're podcasting today. This is Ty Berger, TB from the site, joined by Ahern Alley and our special guest, every Bring on the Cats reader's favorite ESPN blogger, David Ubben. So I'm going to turn it over to Ahern Alley, and we'll go from there.
All right, sounds good. David, let's go ahead and get out of the way and talk a little bit about the K-State spring game. I'm not a big fan of it. You said there's not a lot to take from it. You know, is there anything we can learn from that game?
No, I mean, there's only so much you can learn about any spring game because ultimately, you know, even if you're playing, you know, good on good, you're one playing against your ones, it's still kind of a zero-sum game. And, you know, and it's especially hard to draw anything from it when you feel like K-State does. You know, they have a first team against a second team. But, you know, it is personal preference. And at the end of the day, we're still talking about what's essentially a practice. So, you know, people want to look really deeply into what happens in a spring game. But ultimately, it's one of 15 practices. And yeah, you can only take much from that. And I think that's pretty obviously exactly how Bill Snyder wants it to be.
Yeah. He doesn't seem to want us to know anything about their practices, does he?
No, and that's nothing new for sure.
Colin Klein, 475 yards, and today you put him as one of the Heisman candidates from the Big 12. You know, what does he have to do to be at that level?
Well, probably average like 475 passing yards would be a nice start. No, I mean, he still has to do what he did last year and progress as a thrower. You know, I certainly have my doubts about whether or not he can carry the ball, you know, 825 times I did last year, but you know, he held up and he kept playing even when he wasn't practicing, so he wasn't taking a ton of big shots. I mean, he knows how to protect himself, so you know, those carries is a lot of hits, but not a lot of huge hits, not really put himself in danger. But he's just got to stay healthy. I think certainly if they can limit just how many times he carries the ball, but continue to grow as a passer. You know, I think that's the biggest thing he's got to do. I think his ceiling is not incredibly high when you consider his mechanics and his experience as a passer. But you saw it when last year he was throwing well. I mean, K-State was pretty impossible to stop. And they're definitely the most frustrating team in the Big 12 to try and defend all season.
Yeah. And I was thinking, you know, maybe he had that first game last year. It was probably his worst one. Maybe he needs to get a bloody elbow going for that first game. That might have been the problem.
I think so. I wouldn't be surprised if he starts hiding razor blades somewhere in his wristband, and before the game, just get the blood going to get him fired up.
Yeah, and you know, this is kind of a sore subject for some K-State fans, but there's some talk about K-State got lucky with a lot of their close games. You know, is that repeatable? What they did last season?
Well, that's the big question I think with K-State. You know, and my thing is it's kind of battling two things. One, and I've written about it a little bit. One, certainly, you know, I don't know if it's fair to say that they got lucky. That's a little bit of a loaded word on its own. But certainly, and, you know, Bill Snyder said it himself, they were fortunate in a lot of spots last year. You know, the ball bounced their way a whole lot of times. Oklahoma State, the obvious exception to that rule. But I do think if there's 20 or 30 more seconds left in that game, K-State goes and wins that. Now, there wasn't, they lost, but that is what it is. So it's a combination of, one, can they duplicate that? Or two, can you also progress as a team like we've seen Bill Snyder teams do to the point where you don't have to do that? I think it's definitely a possibility that K-State could be a better team than they were last year. Only go 9-3 or only go 10-2, be significantly better if they don't get those bounces. I don't think it's any question that with as much as they bring back on both sides of the ball, that K-State's going to be a better team under Bill Snyder. That's what he does. But will their record be better? That's the biggest question. I think certainly the Big 12 title is out there for K-State, as it's out there for a lot of teams in the Big 12 this year, more so than we've seen probably in a long, long time. But can they get the bounces that they need to, use those experiences and that confidence and win those close games last year, and put themselves in position to win a whole lot of games again in 2012 without necessarily needing a game heroics and fourth quarter comebacks.
And the other thing, I'm looking at your Ultimate Big 12 road trip right now, and you've got K-State on there four times. And what stands out to me, though, is the three Big 12 games are all on the road. You know, so how much is that tough schedule? It's going to be tricky at Oklahoma, at West Virginia, and at TCU.
Yeah, I think definitely. I think, you know, after TCU, a little bit of a question mark. I could see them falling to win, you know, seven or eight games. I think they're, you know, a contender to win the Big 12 title on paper. But, you know, I think they have more variables than any team in the whole Big 12. Obviously, losing Tanner Brock, the whole drug scandal, I mean, he was going to be the best defensive player. Devin Johnson, a starting safety. And then you have, you know, they're following Utah's lead as, you know, this team so much as a non-AQ. I guess a term that's going to be going away very shortly. But as a non-AQ, and now they're stepping up to the big leagues, and how will they do? You know, nobody really knows. So, but when it comes to a tough schedule, you know, it's going to be, you know, that's the one advantage of this round robin. The difference between, you know, the toughest schedule in the Big 12 and the simplest is not that far. So, you know, it is going to be tough to go play at Oklahoma. It's going to be tough for them to win that game. You know, West Virginia as well. But, you know, this is still a Big 12 where at the top, you can lose two games and still win the Big 12. I think, if I had to guess, I think the Big 12 champion is going to have two losses this year. So it's just a matter of taking care of business when you get a chance.
Yeah. And Ty, I'd give you a chance to jump in here. I mean, you're a guy who goes to the games. Which home games do you want to go to this season?
I would like to go to any of them, really. The problem is, as some of the readers know and some don't, my wife is pregnant and due in the middle of October, which was brilliant planning on my part. So I will probably not be in attendance for any of them. I would say that the game, the away game that I most want to go to is West Virginia. And actually, I was planning on going to that until I found out the news. And given that it's a week before the due date, probably not going to happen. So Texas would be a home game that I would definitely want to go to. Probably be the primary one that I would want to see.
I don't know. I made my first trip there to West Virginia earlier this year to visit a friend at Marshall. It was kind of scary.
Yeah, I made my first trip over there. Straight up to Morgantown. I was there for like 3 days. It'd be a whole new experience for Big 12 fans. I mean, there's nothing in the Big 12 that's anything like it in about every way. So definitely going to be a fun trip for folks, for sure.
I was hoping to go just for the moonshine, really, if nothing else.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised. You know, I went the second week of April, and in Dallas, we didn't get a single drop or a single flake of snow. As far as I think we only got flurries once or twice, but not a legitimate snow. And I wake up after the first day I'm there, and it's a pretty legit snow outside coming down. And I'm just like, what world have I walked into?
Yeah,
it's snowed all day.
I was there on New Year's, but it snowed there too. All right, while I'm thinking about it, let's rewind just a little bit. K-State had one guy selecting the NFL draft, sort of. There's been a debate on what extent.
Count it. Count it.
I don't think it should.
Count it.
You guys are gonna make the lawyer break the tie here? That's not a good idea.
Hey, let's put Eastern Kentucky on this. Bryce Brown, probably their favorite K-State player.
Miami, too.
Yeah.
Now, I think we counted it for no other reason than he didn't get kicked off the team. He didn't actually cause trouble while he was there. He just simply never found his way into the rotation. I'm okay with counting that because sort of like we argued last year as far as the whole if all tied, do they all count it as a Big 12 championship? Well, as a matter of philosophy, no, I don't think they don't. But given that everybody else does, I'm certainly not going to turn it down. So I think in the ethically challenged world of NCAA of all college sports right now, I think you count everything you can.
I guess
especially, sorry, don't mean to interrupt you, especially when you share a state with the University of Kansas.
Yeah, Yeah, I was going to say, it's more legitimate than them saying, oh, no, us beating Richmond and Kansas City doesn't count against our home streak. Us losing Richmond, everyone. So. You think Bryce Brown's going to succeed in the NFL, Alvin?
No.
All right.
I don't think there's a ton of debate on that point right now, because I don't think I've seen any indication for any reason that he would. But, you know, best of luck to him.
Yeah, it should be interesting. Well, looking at the K-State for next year, I mean, they had the same deal last year, but I'm kind of skeptical about a wide receiver. Some guys think there's a lot of depth there. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I hear this from the K-State folks. I mean, anytime I talk about their receivers, they get a little fired up. But it's like, you know, these guys can look fine and they can catch the ball and, you know, look pretty good in the open field. But look around the Big 12. I mean, it's been crazy the last 4 or 5 years. I think it's pretty clear that K-State's in the bottom half of the league. Obviously, their offense is not conducive to guys putting up big numbers. But even the guys that are out there, I mean, Chris Harper and Jermaine Thompson, I mean, those guys are fine receivers, and they could, you know, contribute in some of these systems. But, you know, you look at these teams, you know, the Baylors, the Oklahoma States, you know, these teams are putting the steers off. Even the guys Texas have, as, you know, Mike Davis and Jackson Shipley, I think those guys, you know, are even better than what you're going to see, you know, out of K-State. You know, K-State, they obviously have their strengths. I mean, John Hubert, grossly underrated. Guy that doesn't necessarily wow you, but he was fantastic last year. Colin Klein, there's not much else that needs to be said about him, as well as the defense as a whole. But receivers, I just don't really see it. It's not a glaring weakness, but it's certainly not on par with the rest of the Big 12, I don't think.
David, I have to jump in there and go back to your comments on the receivers, and I have to ask a follow-up question. And the follow-up question, obviously, is why do you hate K-State so much?
Clearly.
Oh, man. No, I'll throw in my two cents on the receivers. I think they're pretty serviceable for what a team like K-State wants to do. You've got a big guy like Chris Harper who can be a solid possession receiver, but also is a good blocker on the edge. And, you know, blocking is as much a skill for these guys in Bill Snyder's system as, you know, being able to get downfield and get behind the defense. So we definitely need receivers like that. But, yeah, I agree. I mean, they're solid. They do what they need to do. But, you know, nobody's confusing anybody on our roster for Justin Blackmon.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's a good point.
Or Kendall Wright.
Well, we saw Kendall Wright last year. No comparison necessary.
I feel bad for Kendall Wright. He's like the, you know, he leads the Big 12 in receiving and doesn't get the Litnikoff Award nod. He just came on so strong so late that.
Yeah,
got a little overshadowed. Somebody was going to get snubbed. I mean, Robert Woods, Justin Blackmon, and Ryan Broyles, and Wright all deserved a spot at the table for the Blitnikoff. But one of those guys had to get snubbed. Yeah. Unfortunately, it was Wright, but it is what it is.
I will say that's a good point, Ty, you made about the blocking. And, you know, as a K-State fan, I'll never bet against the Lockett. So
that's true. That is a good point. I think that I don't know that Lockett is, you know, I don't know if he will end up being an elite Big 12 receiver, but he certainly is our best hope at that status.
And I've seen some people saying Chris Harper as an NFL prospect. Is that a thing?
I don't know. I haven't seen that. I will say this. Mr. Lockett is the best player. And that is something that because even when K-State was playing their best football last year, it is ugly. It is in stark contrast to the rest of the Big 12. To watch a pop dart around and make an Oklahoma State player miss. That was pretty fun to watch last year.
See, David, circa 1995, this was just what we would call typical Big 12, well, Big 8 at the time football. It's only ugly by comparison.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Are we going to see, like, where did West Virginia and TCU fit in on that? Are they going to be more Big 12 fun to watch or ugly to watch?
Well, I think it's pretty – I mean, TCU, they've hung their hat on balance. I think they're going to be able to do anything they want to next year. You know, obviously, with 3 700-yard rushers, that's insane. Wesley and Matt Tucker and those guys. But, you know, receiver-wise – Sky Dawson, I really think he may be the best fun player to watch in the whole Big 12. I mean, I don't know if you guys got to watch much of them last year, especially that Baylor game. I mean, God.
That was an awesome game.
He is going to be unbelievable. And Josh Boyce, just a great receiver all around. And Brandon Carter stepped in as a true freshman last year. He was committed, I believe, to OU, or came down to OU and D, but OU wanted to play him as a DB. And he came into TCU and played really well. And obviously Casey Bahal, the guy that didn't throw crazy numbers last year, but he's going to be great. But offensively, certainly didn't fall into there. And then, you know, West Virginia, you know, Gene Smith and Stedman Bailey and Tavon Austin, that's pretty much all you need to know. I mean, Stedman and Tavon are the two leading receivers in the Big 12 coming in next year. And Dana Holmson told me, you know, I talked a little bit about this on Twitter earlier in the week. And he said he was pretty surprised that the quality of Big East defenses. And, you know, I think there's a case to be made that the Big East defenses are superior to the Big 12. I don't know if there's any way to definitively say that. But, you know, West Virginia, they're not any strangers to seeing the defenses that can throw some stuff at them.
Mm-hmm. All right. How about, I mean, you showed some more of your anti-K-State bias earlier this week, making some comments about the K-State press box, I think. And, you know, let's talk about that.
The fact that we're not ready for prime time.
Yeah, Bill Hancock is, here's the thing. You know, Bill Hancock, he's an Oklahoma native. He knows plenty about Big 12 country. You know, he's not a coastal guy. And he just used K-State as an example. And he wasn't even talking about K-State. That's the whole deal that K-State wanted to get so defensive about. You know, the bottom line is, if you're going to have these games on campus, you know, having press conferences at the game and seating people in the press box, I mean, K-State's not the only school who would have trouble. He was mostly making a point. I mean, Nebraska has an enormous press box. You know, Texas obviously does. Oklahoma isn't that huge. There's only a handful of schools that could fit.
What are you saying? Are Nebraska and Texas trying to compensate for something or what?
Yeah, something like that. To compensate for their enormous in-state media. and people can say, well, you know, nobody likes to people complain. Nobody knows that more than me. But at the end of the day, you know, media coverage is a big part of these games and a big part of the exposure of these games. I'm not sure that the, you know, whatever you want to call a new conglomeration or whatever the BCS becomes, I'm not sure that they want to, you know, be hurting those relationships and things along those lines. So, you know, I understand that when he makes, you know, when the BCS head makes a point to, you know, make a fairly sympathetic comment in relation to the media, that people are not going to be too heartbroken over it. Because at the end of the day, these games are about the games that we're going to have a playoff. But, you know, it's still a factor. And to dismiss it, I think, is pretty foolish.
Yeah.
But not necessarily a comment about K-State. Mostly just about schools in general.
I'm just flattered that he used K-State as his example. And better us than, you know, Washington State or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, the implication there is...
And he knows, he entertained the thought of K-State hosting a national semifinal. If anything, it's a compliment.
Goddamn right.
Exactly.
Exactly. I don't recall him using KU as an example. I think KU, they're a little
they
ways.
Football team?
Semifinal. Do you have a football team that's coached by Charlie Weiss?
Okay.
who, as he demonstrated this week, has no idea what the appellate process means. I cannot let that go. Sorry.
I gotta be honest with you. I'm not sure how many of our listeners will know what appellate means.
Okay, appeals process, sorry.
Too much lawyer talk.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Well, follow-up then, where do you stay when you go to Manhattan?
Well, it depends.
You don't have to give the actual hotel if you're worried about torches and pitchforks. in general.
Well, since I've taken this job, I've really only been to Manhattan twice, and I stayed in...
God, you hate us so much.
I know, yeah. So the first was just on a campus visit, and I was only there for a day.
Were they recruiting you?
Yeah.
It's a lot of travel
for
one day.
That Thursday night debacle against Nebraska.
Ugh.
And I flew in the morning, drove in, got lunch at Aggieville, and then drove back got pulled over actually in my rental Dodge Charger. And then I had a Diet Coke in the console.
Of course you
did. Oh no.
And it was like melted. And so I like took a drink and the officer takes the cup out of my hand and it's like, "What are you drinking there?" I'm like, "A Diet Coke." So he like smells it. He smells it. Where are you headed? I'm like, "Back to Kansas City. I got a flight in the morning. I was at the game just now." He's like, "Oh, you're at the game." Hold on a second. Yeah. So I'm sitting there like, "Come on, man." And then he let me go, fortunately. I don't even remember what I did.
Just so everybody knows, David Ubbin always is a Diet Coke in the cocktail.
David,
I'm cutting back on the Diet Coke these days.
Okay.
David, I do have to ask, was that Kansas hypo that got you, or was it a local guy?
I have no clue. Couldn't tell you.
The Kansas Highway Patrol is sometimes notorious for being a little hard on the people they pull over.
they were okay. It went fine. All right.
Well, that's good. I guess let's get back on the football track a little bit. Talk some more about the KSA defense.
Let's talk more about the Highway State Patrol. Anyway, what about the defense?
Yeah, I mean, you said they could be one of the best units. Obviously, everybody knows who Arthur Brown is. You said Ty Zimmerman, you think, could be one of the best in the Big 12 this season?
Yeah, I like him a lot. I think any guys that can come in and play as freshmen and make an impact, you got to like their upside. I like what we saw from Zimmerman. Obviously not the most physically gifted guy in the world, but he's a guy that you got to like to have on your team. I really think, you got to replace some stuff up front on the defensive line. But, you know, Arthur Brown and Trey Walker, I think, are a fantastic 1-2 punch. Obviously, with, Nigel Malone, plenty to love there. But K-State's in good shape. He's got little pieces to fill, but definitely a lot of people to build around defensively.
It seemed like at times last year there wasn't a whole lot of pass rush. You know, do you think Meshack Williams and some of those guys are going to be better this year?
I think so. I mean, I thought him and Volker did a nice job at times. I mean, certainly it was some frustrating spots for K-State, but I really feel like more often than not, they were serviceable, especially when you consider the rest of the talent they had defensively.
Yeah. Okay.
And especially when you consider that they rushed four every down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, do you know much about, you know, the new defensive coordinator and what kind of impact that could have?
I couldn't tell you a whole lot. Mr. Snyder loved to
Yeah, hopefully we won't have as much sit back in the zone as we saw last season. So.
Death by 1,000 paper cuts.
Exactly. Well, I don't know. I mean, is there anything else with K-State we can think about this summer? Like, what should we be talking about?
Let's hope we're not talking about much, because it'll be the police blotter if we do.
Yeah. That's a good point. Fortunately, not too much to worry about with that Manhattan, right?
Oh, I don't know. Having spent 3 summers there, I don't know.
It's pretty dead in the summer.
Yeah.
I heard that's why Frank Martin really left.
If we ever figure out why Frank Martin really left, we'll be able to write a book.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's probably true. So, I mean, David, you've been, on the blog for a couple of years. Any more insights into Bill Snyder today than what you had when you came on?
I don't. He's not a straight talker. He's not very open. what you see is what you get, and that's all you get, and what you see not very much. So K-State is what K-State is, and that is annual history.
Yeah. So Bill Snyder doesn't take you out for drinks or anything?
only in April after spring is, or May when spring is over and he comes down to Dallas and
you guys go to Midtown and
catch a Rangers game sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's a good. He's a huge Rangers fan.
Well, David, I'll give you a piece of advice. I think that you might get him to open up more to you if you were to write a story about the Kansas Mentors program on the ESPN Big 12 blog. I think he would really appreciate you writing about the youngsters.
That's a good point.
There you go.
Is that something that the state was thinking about shutting down for a while?
What's that?
Wasn't there some talk about the legislature shutting that down?
Well, you know, given all the budget cuts, I'm sure they're talking about shutting a lot of things down.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, see, Dave, I'm just telling you, David, summer's tough. We're always looking for good content in the summer. So it's just, that's a story idea for you.
There you go. Saturdays with Snyder.
And a bunch of 12-year-olds.
Yes. Hopefully Colin Klein comes too.
Yeah.
Colin Klein seems like he's a pretty good interview most of the time. Sipping.
Oh, it's okay. I like him. I'm a little bit jealous of him on the Glenn Gronkowski Express.
I was going to say.
Glenn was fantastic.
I can't wait until the week of the KU game this year. I just have a feeling there's going to be fantastic comments thrown around by him. Provided we win by 40 again, of course. But
the funny thing is, I'm not sure Snyder cares all that much about that kind of thing. I think game planning stuff he's fired up about, but like as far as like, you know, the non-PC, you know, comments, I don't think he cares all that much.
Yeah. Show up and do your job. That's the main thing.
And don't tell other people what job you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Who are the best interviews for K-State, then, in your experience?
For K-State, I mean, I've enjoyed talking to Colin Klein. I'll miss Tyson Hartman a lot. I mean, he's obviously a really smart guy. He was a finalist for the Campbell Trophy last year.
Yeah. Did you ask him about the why his name?
No, I did not. I did not. But I always enjoyed talking to him. He was always good. And you know, it was unfortunate. I just didn't spend a whole lot of time around K-State last year. You know, I was supposed to go to the K-State OU game, and then OU did their tech thing, and I think I went to Oklahoma State and Baylor instead.
Not only were we deprived of College Game Day, we were deprived of David Ubbins' presence that day.
Yeah, well, we sent Ivan Mandel. We were going to double up on K-State and OU, and then OU just disappointed the guys. So
yeah,
we had to spread out our coverage.
Oh well.
All right.
What about Chris Harper? I hear Chris Harper is a great interview. Have you had a chance to talk to him?
I haven't spent a lot of time around him. Really. Oh,
okay.
You know, they just have so little access, even during the spring, that it's tough to really get a feel for, you know, who's what. And so, you know, it is what it is, I guess.
I can tell you, Rob Cassidy from GoPowerCat.com thinks that Chris Harper is just about the greatest thing since the forward pass. So you may try to see if you can get some more time with Chris Harper this year.
I hope he's the greatest thing since the forward pass. He doesn't see very many of those occasions.
He makes the most of his opportunities.
All eight of them.
All eight of them.
How about it, man? It seemed like Carson Kaufman was a good guy to talk to. So how did he and Colin Klein compare?
So. Who?
Carson Kaufman, back when he was...
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're pretty similar. I mean, I think I was pretty impressed when I asked Colin to receive the 16 goals for success last year, and he just ripped them off in like 20 seconds.
Wow.
wasn't it Kaufman who was the expert on stadiums?
What was that?
He was the expert on all the college football stadiums.
Oh, I'm not aware of that. I'm going to have to ask him.
All right. Anyway. Yeah, I think we're running out of things to talk about here.
Yeah, when we're down to trying to figure out who talked about different college football stadiums, it's probably about time to sign off. So, David, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you coming on and explaining why exactly it is that you have a pathological hatred for Manhattan and K-State. We look forward to reading all your stuff, and we look forward to reading your blog in the off season and following your tweets. Follow David on Twitter. Follow him on the ESPN Big 12 blog, and he'll lead us through the long hot summer until we finally get to the promised land this September.
We didn't even get to the irrational hatred of Willie today.
let's let sleeping dogs lie there.
Yeah.
Hey, Willie is nothing if not a genetic experiment gone wrong.
All right, David, thanks. Ahern, thanks for running the show. You definitely don't want to listen to me stutter and stammer around for 35 minutes. So everybody, all five of you who actually listened all the way through to this, if even five, thanks for listening. And we'll catch you next time whenever the hell we feel like recording another podcast. So have a good morning, afternoon, or evening.